This is Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing. Presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
25-year-old Mario Gutierrez, who touched Derby, 1:38.
Digging down for the final 16th under Victor Espinosa.
Joe Calamo in the ride of his life, in the race of his life.
Gary Stevens, 3 Preaknesses.
A brilliant ride by Calvin Burrell.
Up the inside under Johnny Velasquez to take it.
Shanghai Bobby and Rosina Pravnik come again to beat. He's had enough.
Raji Baraj aboard, crushing the field here.
Perfectly ridden by Javier Castellano.
A scintillating performance under Rafael Bejarano.
Now, here's Christina McManigal.
Time flies. It's been just over a year since we brought you the very first episode of Jock Talk. We are so grateful to have had the opportunity to spend time with some of racing's greatest. Memories I know I will never forget. And it's actually all coming full circle this evening as our guest tonight has a special connection to our very first guest last year. We'll talk about that and more during this special holiday edition of Jock Talk, another spectacular hour spent with a young up-and-coming superstar in racing. He was the 2014 Eclipse Award-winning apprentice, after all, with 263 wins and over $11 million in earnings so far. Those numbers are just rapidly growing. I'm here tonight with jockey Drayden Van Dyke. Drayden, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So great to have you here on the show with us, and 21 years old and already just making a name for yourself. It has to be a little bit surreal, Drayden. Here we are almost to 2016, and looking back at the very beginning, you've come so far. And what do you think looking back?
I'm very humbled. I'm good at staying humbled because I was brought up the right way. To not get a big head under the guidance of Tom Proctor and Hall of Fame jockeys of Gary Stevens and Mike Smith. They're very close to me, and with their guidance, it just taught me how to handle my success and to know that you can lose it at any time and you can go from being the best jockey to one of the to lower ones, but I'm very happy to where I'm at today. But it didn't come easy. It came with a lot of preparation from when I was in high school. I was even preparing before I even became a jockey. I was preparing myself. But very humbled and not only humbled but proud of myself as well.
As you should be, Drayden. And you talk about the preparation that you had to go through to get to this point where you are now, and let's talk about that. So when did the idea first pop into your head that you wanted to be a jockey?
Right. I grew up in Hot Springs, Arkansas, going to school there. I went to Lake Hamilton High School in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and lived with my mom and my late father. He lived in Kentucky in Churchill Downs. So during the summer break of school, I would go visit my dad. And at first, the track, I could barely even wake up to go there. So I'd just stay home. But I started kind of getting a little interest in it. And so I started going to work with my dad and just looking at stuff and being around the horses. Eventually, I started hot walking and just working my way up, and so that's kind of how I got the bug, and just fell in love with the horses. But my preparation during school, like mainly in high school, I'd run before school would start, so it's like school started at like 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd wake up at like 5 a.m. and go run like 3 or 4 miles every day before school. And it wasn't one of those really good equalizers that they have now, but it was kind of a cheap, crappy made one. But I'd get on that and just ride, and just I would like ride like five races before I go to school, just things like that. And all my friends thought I was crazy, but now they don't think I'm crazy. Now,
think you're crazy at all.
No, not at all. Everyone's proud of me. My family, my whole family's proud, and all my old buddies back in Arkansas, they're very proud of me. But yeah, just things like that. And probably around 15 is when I really decided I wanted to be a jockey. 15, 16, I was tiny, probably weighed like 90 pounds and stuff. I weigh around 107 now. Yeah, around that time. So
you were always a natural lightweight, and obviously sounds like you were always very athletic if you were that dedicated to wake up in the mornings and run before school and ride the Equisizer. Yeah. I heard that you were cut from your high school basketball team.
Yeah, I tried. I was in love with basketball. I'm still am. I love playing it, and I'm pretty good. But I just wasn't tall enough, and the point in time when I tried out, I wasn't the best I could be. So I just got cut. I almost made the team, but I was like the second to last one to get on the team or whatever. But I didn't make the team. So after that kind of happened to me, I said, man, I got to figure something out. I don't really like anything else. So I focused everything on my life, my routines and everything on horses.
Well, it certainly paid off. You made the right decision. And so tell us what it was like going with your dad to the track and getting that first dose of what that life would be like. And just describe to us the life at the track in those early years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at first, like I said before, I was younger, so I wasn't used to getting up early. So I could barely keep my eyes open, and I would sleep in the office where my dad was working. He was an exercise rider at the time. And, I would sleep in the office, and by the time I'd wake up, training would be over, but I got adjusted to it, and as soon as I could start kind of staying awake, I'd walk around. My dad was working for a trainer. His name's James Baker, Jimmy Baker, mm-hmm. Out there in Kentucky, and I'd walk around with Baker and just watch training. Really, just I'd watch horses all every morning, every day, and the what really caught me was the smells of the track. You'd smell like shavings or the smell of the horses. Some smells aren't too great. You'll walk by like a where they dump the manure and stuff, but it's a unique smell. That just the different smells is very unique of the track. And the characters of the track, is every track you go to, there's workers around there, and they're just characters. It's kind of like, it's not like circus, but the kind of gypsy type people. They live off nothing and pick up everything that they have and travel to state to state to care for the horses, and it's just cool. But a jockey lifestyle is different than that. On a regular day for me, like I would wake up and go work my horses and go home and prepare for the races that I have that day. But and stuff like that. There's so many unique things of the backside and the racetrack. You got the front side where the grandstand is and the spectators come to watch. And just, there's so many different things on the racetrack that's so so unique and interesting, and I love it.
It really is its own little world of its own. And Drayden walking around Churchill, a trainer by the name of Tom Proctor soon noticed you.
Yeah, I was saying he's a good friend with Jimmy Baker, and at that time I just graduated high school, and I moved from Arkansas with my dad to Kentucky, and I was trying to go out there and I had experience of riding horses, but not the proper way to learn how to ride yet. And walking around, kind of getting on horses, jogging them, shed rowing them, and just simple stuff. And yeah, Proctor noticed me, and he seen how small I was, and he's seen me around before, because I was going to Kentucky at least, I'd have to say, 3 years, 4 years in a row every summer. So he knew of me, and he trains for a very famous and well-known owner of they're called Glen Hill Farm. They're based in Ocala, Florida, and Proctor thought it'd be a good idea if he gave me the best opportunity of my life, and I'm glad I took it to go stay 6 months at Glen Hill Farm and learn how to break babies and just become what he calls a true horseman, to care for them, break them, clean them, walk them, ride them, turn them out, everything, and just work hard. And that's what he did for me. And when those babies were done being broke and 6 months passed, I learned with those horses, and the horses learned with me. And when they shipped to the racetrack out here in California, I shipped out there with them, and that's how I started. And without that opportunity and Proctor giving me that chance, I would be nowhere close to where I'm at today. So I owe a lot to him and everyone at Glen Hill Farm. The president of Glen Hill Farm, his name's Craig Burnick, and the owner right now, I think he's in his late 80s, maybe early 90s. His name's Leonard Levin. Great people, and just blessed to get the opportunity.
Well, Tom Proctor saw something in you in the early years, and he wasn't wrong. And you moved to California with him to eventually ride those same horses that you learned on. And what was that like to know those horses so well, and then to go and eventually, as we'll later talk about, ride them in races?
It was a very unique experience. Probably not many people have ever got to experience that. I knew all these horses like the back of my hand, and of course I was around them for 6 months, and I kind of knew each one's talent level, and I had a couple favorites I liked, and to see if they turned into what you thought they were going to be, which some of them really did, it was really cool. Of course, the really good ones, I didn't get a chance to ride because I wasn't at that level yet. I just started, and of course, that's where Gary Stevens took over. But the other ones that weren't, they were great, they were good, but they weren't state courses. But there's about probably about four or five that I got to break, and I got to ride, and I got to win on multiple times. And that was a very cool thing to do. And riding for Proctor and Glen Hill Farm, it's the most relaxing people to work for or to ride for, because it's like kind of like my home base kind of. And it's just fun when I get to win a race for them, especially. I just won my first stake race for Glen Hill Farm, not my first stake race, but for the farm, and it's just, I couldn't be any happier to win for a race for than that farm. So,
well, congratulations! Yeah. That does have to be a very gratifying feeling. People who believed in you and helped you along the way, and then to go on and win a stake race for them, and you actually, your very first win was aboard Money Clip for Tom Proctor. Tell us about that day.
Yeah, here in California, when we get maybe a little bit of rain, things get muddy really easy because it hardly ever rains out here. So that particular day, I rode one previous race before this day. My first race was on a horse named Two Term Leader for Glen Hill Farm. And, of course, I got that first race out of the way. I maybe finished 6th or 7th, lower on the board. But, yeah, that day, money clip. Gary Stevens was supposed to ride him on the turf. There's a maiden special weight on the turf. I think it was going 6 furlongs, like a sprint on the turf. So it rained. They took it off the turf, and this was at Hollywood Park, so they had what you call a poly track. So, and that was the only horse Gary Stevens was on that day. So Tom called up Stevens and he said, "Hey, Gary, if you want to, you can take the day off. We're just gonna." Tom kind of gives them like a schooling race to get education. If he doesn't think they're ready to win first time out, so. He didn't think this horse was ready to win first time out, so he said, "Hey, Gary, you can just kind of stay home. It's raining outside and nasty, and we'll just put Drayden on." And he said, "Gary's like, oh yeah, cool. That sounds cool with me." And so they named me on the horse. I broke from the gate. My horse, I remember, I was dead last, and I was just sitting on really. And before I know it, I was just creeping up on the horses without even asking him, and just kind of swung him out. There's a bunch of horses in front of me backing up, swung him out, and just asked him a little bit, and he, honestly, all the other horses were getting so tired because they went so fast, and I just creeped up and barely had to ride him and won the race, my first race for my career and for Tom and for Glen Hill Farm. It was just one of the best days of my life, and talk about it all the time. Just the events that led up to it, and how it just kind of fell into place, and it was a great day.
Wow, we're here with jockey Drayden Van Dyke joining me on Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Drayden, someone was watching that first victory from the jocks room at Churchill. Your father, and How was that to have him watching, and he had to be so proud?
Oh, yeah, I had about, before I could even get to the jocks room, of course, they hazed me with baby powder, eggs, water, all, you name it, they threw it on me, ice, and got back to the jocks room and got high fives from everyone, Mike Smith, and just the whole California jockey colony, and got back, sat down, my valet took off my boots, and everything, and I was just in shock. I was just so happy, and I went to go look at my phone, and geez, I had about 50 text messages already, and Twitter tweets, and Instagram, and Facebook, everything, and missed calls, and just crazy stuff, and of course, I responded to my mom and dad first, and called them, and they're just so happy for me, and of course, my dad, he was a jockey, and he just, I don't know, I wish he was here today to explain what he felt, but I'm sure he was so proud of me, and I tried to continue to make him proud today. He's not with us anymore, but I know I'm making him proud, and make my mom proud. She's still with us, and just my family, they're just so proud of me, and I don't know, just trying to do my best every day. So.
Oh, I'm sure he is very, very proud of you, Drayden. And tell us about someone who kind of stepped in as a role of kind of guiding you along the way, Mike Smith.
Yeah, boy, has he been so crucial in my my career, and as I call him like a father figure. He reminds me. It's crazy. It's really weird. Gary Stevens and Mike Smith, they come from the same era as my dad grew up. So their attributes and stuff like that, it reminds me so much of my dad. And I feel like I'm around him when I'm around them. And especially Mike. And I lived with him. I stayed out here with Proctor for a little while in his apartment, and went to Del Mar, and I needed a roommate. I didn't know really where I was going to stay, and of course Mike offered, and shoot, from there on out until recently, about 3 months ago. I lived with him for about a year, about the whole year. I was an apprentice. I lived with Mike Smith, and he was there with me for me when my dad died. I was staying down there with him in Del Mar, and man, he just told me, I never forget it. He said he'll always be there for me, anything I need, anything. So he kind of took over as like a father figure for me. And we go see movies, we go out to eat, we work out, and we go shopping, we do everything together, and we're best friends, and we consider ourselves family. And to be like that with a writer and Hall of Famer and person like Mike, he's well known as a, not only as a great jockey, but a five-star person too. And I'm lost for words to even explain how lucky I am to have him.
Five-star person indeed. As I mentioned in the intro for tonight's show, Mike Smith was actually our very first guest on the very first Jock Talk over a year ago. And what a great mentor to have, Drayden. Just a super, super person, as you said. And actually, I heard a funny story that one morning while you were living with Mike, you were late to work a set of horses for Proctor, and they kicked you out of the house. Is that right?
Yeah, as people know, if they've been to Del Mar, it's not cheap to get housing, and the house that we stayed in was pretty expensive. Not going to go into how much I paid for my part, but it was a big amount, and I actually didn't show up for that morning for certain reasons that I can't explain on here, and old Proctor, he's tough. He's old school. He doesn't want me to become as what you call like a punk, or like thinking I'm too good that, oh, I can't show up to work or stuff like that. No, that's not him at all. So, and that's not me at all either. But everyone misses work every once in a while. It's a thing, but
of course.
Yeah, he told me either I can ride for him or and move in the tack room, or I couldn't ride for him and stay in a nice house with old Mike Smith and not show up for work. So I had to move in the tack room from this nice house I'm staying in into a cobweb, dirt on the floor tack room. The door didn't even shut all the way. It was bad. And so I stayed in there for a week, and I proved to Tom that I was serious about everything. I'm there to learn, and I'm there to listen, and I do what I'm told, and no back talking or like I'm. Show him that I understand where he's coming from, and he laughs about it now. I'm sure he's told the story to everyone, and he says, man, I couldn't believe you stayed in that tack room for a full week. If I were you, I would have told myself to screw off, and I'm not staying in that tack room anymore. But I never said anything like that. I stayed in there until he told me. He finally felt bad for me, and I, of course, every morning I had that a mean smirk on my face, knowing I'm not happy. And he seen it, and he thought it was hilarious the whole freaking time. He thought it was hilarious, but eventually he said I could go back and move in with Mike, and I haven't missed a day since. So
wow, that a hard lesson learned, but you did learn that. Right? After living in a tack room. That is hilarious. And Drayden, unfortunately, we're not going to get a full hour with you. We only have a couple minutes left. But take us fast forward to the Eclipse Awards of 2014. Wow. How was that to win that award?
Yeah, that's been a goal of mine ever since I even heard of the Eclipse Awards, and that was my main goal as when I started to ride, and my agent really helped me to achieve that. Her name is Sarah Wolf, and I was riding here in California Thursday through Sunday, and Tom had me going to Tour Paradise in Phoenix, Arizona on Monday through Wednesday, the dark day that in California where we don't race. I raced in Arizona to win that many more races and get that experience in. And it I think it was very crucial for me to win the Eclipse Award. I believe I won, I think, I can't remember the number. It had to be at least 50 or 60 extra wins.
Wow.
To my tally of wins, and it truly helped me, and I'm truly happy that I did it. It was hard, a lot of late night flights and early mornings, and a lot of hard work. And I had a different agent there handling my business in Phoenix. His name was Steve Nolan, and Sarah was handling my business out here in California. So. Big thanks to them and everyone that gave me a chance to ride their horses and get a win for them. They helped me achieve the greatest goal of any apprentice. Any apprentice wants to win that award, and you only have one chance to win it. And to achieve that and have that trophy in my house is, man, I look at it every day. I kiss it. I love that trophy, and no one can ever take that away from me. And that's one of my greatest achievements of all time so far.
You should be very proud, Drayden. All that hard work paid off and will continue to pay off. Unfortunately, we're all out of time, Drayden. Thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Anytime.
Thank you. And if you missed any portion of tonight's show, you can listen on our website, horseracingradio.net, and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Be sure to join me next Tuesday at 6 o'clock Eastern Time with another edition of Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. For our producer, Lee Delapina, I'm Christina McManigal. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Tito Beveridge, founder and master distiller of Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. I believe in the craft process of distilling in batches using old-fashioned pot stills, and that's the way we still make Tito's Handmade Vodka today. We even won the World Spirits Competition, double gold, unanimous judge's choice. Tito's Handmade Vodka is made from 100% corn, so it's naturally gluten-free. For recipes, videos, and more, visit titosvodka.com. 80 proof Tito's Handmade Vodka, 5th Generation Inc., distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas.
Get ready for the third annual Jockeys and Jeans charity event to benefit the PDJF coming to Gulfstream Park on Sunday, February 28th. Last year, Jockeys and Jeans raised more than $200,000 to benefit permanently disabled riders, and you can help make this year's event even bigger. Meet and mingle with an all-star cast of jockeys, including Lafitte Pinkai Jr., Georgie Velasquez, Pat Day, Randy Romero, and many more. Tickets go on sale at the beginning of January, and donations and sponsorship can be purchased starting December 7th. For more information, visit jockeysandjeans.com.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz, and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
Since 2006, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund has provided critical financial assistance to some 60 riders who have sustained catastrophic on-track injuries. The lives of these former athletes who have given so much to the sport of horse racing have been changed forever. I'm Mike Penna, president of the Horse Racing Radio Network and proud supporter of the PDJF, and I ask you to join me in supporting this outstanding organization right now by texting the word jockey to 50555. You'll be credited with a $10 donation that can literally change the lives of those disabled riders who need it so much. It's quick, it's easy, and it's only $10. Who would think a simple $5 Exacta box would mean so much to so many? So let's all help make a huge difference in the lives of those riders who have given us so many great memories. Text the word jockey to 50555 today and visit pdjf.org to learn more. Message and data rates may apply. Terms mgive.org/chi.
This is CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. First, let's head to New Mexico, where Rye Eichelberry had a great week, capped off with two stakes wins at Sunland Park. Eichelberry finished the week with 4 wins, 3 seconds, and 3 third-place finishes. Irad Ortiz Jr. had a solid week at Aqueduct by finishing in the money on 69% of his mounts. His week was highlighted by wins in the Queens County Stakes aboard Financial Modeling and the New York Stallion Series Stakes aboard Frosty Margarita. For the week, Ortiz finished with 7 wins, 5 seconds, and 6 third-place finishes. Jose Ortiz also had a strong week in New York and led North America in wins and earnings. His consistent riding found him in the money on an impressive 81% of his mounts. Ortiz finished the week with 10 wins, 11 seconds, and 5 third-place finishes. Finally, our Jockeys Guild Jockey of the Week, Ashley Broussard, had a week to remember at Delta Downs. Broussard, who is an apprentice, got her first stakes win of her career aboard Oh Baby, Oh Baby in the Lookout Stakes. She then followed that up on Saturday with her second stakes win aboard Deep Bottom in the Be Connected Stakes. For the week, Broussard finished with 6 wins, 6 seconds, and 2 third-place finishes. Ride to Win, an inside look at the jockey's craft, is the perfect gift for anyone who has wondered what it takes to be a professional jockey. The sport's most prominent jockeys and trainers tell their stories and share their insights on all that goes on behind the scenes. A significant portion of the proceeds go to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. For excerpts, testimonials, and to order, visit JockeyTalk360.com. This has been CJ Johnson with your Jockey Talk 360 weekly update. For all the latest news in the jockey world, visit JockeyTalk360.com and follow us on Twitter at Jockey Talk.
This is Jock Talk on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka.